need a favor.
You ain't one of them?
One of them.
You bitches want breasts?
Say no more. I'm all the way out. Right back
there.
That's
the green thing.
Say I'm too aggressive. That's that pressure, nigga. Test you. Shout out my nigga Special. He come home, he going extra. Evolving, grew with power. He that sour, I'ma stretch you. My heart too big while thanking God. I finally learned my lesson. Yo, bitch gon' fuck someone you know after you get arrested. My nigga broke the street law with an 8-minute confession. God have mercy on his soul. Pray he don't miss no blessings. Turning up with killer all on Instagram. We flexing.
Yeah. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning into the show, family. And we're going to chop up some good game on tonight's show. I might take some calls. The phone number is 818-850-5404 because I got a lot to talk about tonight. We're gonna have a real deep discussion tonight. I got a lot to talk about. But what we're going to do real quickly, I'm going to take a very quick commercial break. And family, I mean very, very quick. And when I come back from that commercial break, we're going to chop up some great game right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show, so don't go nowhere. You want a stunning website at the perfect price for custom web design starting at $200? Visit blacklinewebdesign.com. Check out their work. You will be impressed by their mobile-friendly, modern designs and a fast turnaround. Get your website started today by going to blacklinewebdesign.com, or you can give them a call at 470-363-5519. That's blacklinewebdesign.com.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Bay Area, get ready. Cincinnati, get ready. Join Tariq Nasheed from the hit film series, Hidden Colors, on the Age of Empowerment Tour. On the Age of Empowerment Tour. Coming to the Bay Area at the Black Repertory Theater in Berkeley, California on January 30th. And coming to Gallery 7 in Cincinnati, Ohio, February 6th. For tickets and info, go to www.tariqlive.com. For tickets and info, that's www.tariqlive.com. The Age of Empowerment Tour.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. Again, I am Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as Tariq Nasheed. And we're going to chop up some good game on today's show, family. Now, don't forget, I am going to be on tour. I'm going to be in the Bay Area at the end of this month on January 30th. Get your tickets at TariqLive.com. I'm going to chop up some very good game out there at the Black Repertory Theater. Also, I'm going to be in Cincinnati. That's February 6th. Get your tickets at TariqLive.com, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget, HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. We're working very hard on Hidden Colors 4. We're looking at an April release. So that's tentatively, we're looking at April, because a lot of people are ready for the Hidden Colors 4 DVD or film. It's going to be in theaters. I don't want to get too deep into this because I talked about this on the Ustream show this Sunday. But RIP to our sister, alumni of the Hidden Colors series, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. Our sister became an ancestor this weekend, for those who don't know. Her funeral is going to be in D.C. on the 23rd of January. I will be out there for that. But again, I talked about that a lot on Sunday's show. I don't want to get too deep into that today because there's so much stuff I want to talk about. You know, I just got a tweet. Y'all know that the person, one of those Black Lives Matter trolls that used to call my show and who trolls me on Twitter, that Netta female. I just saw that she, they had her on the cover of Essence magazine. And this is kind of going down right now. Netta on the cover of Essence magazine. And I'm not shocked because she's all, I told y'all a long time ago, that she's hooked in with all of those Ebony, that whole crowd. That's a whole little circle that's enabled by the white supremacists at this point. But they got her on the cover of Ebony saying Black History Matters, and they got her on there. They done glammed her up and, you know, making her the face of Ferguson and all this old stuff. And there's some people online, some people from Ferguson and St. Louis, who are a little bit upset. They're like, we don't know who the fuck she is. Most people in, we ain't fucking with her. And I told people that a long time ago, the people of Ferguson and St. Louis, they ain't really fucking with Netta like that. They don't like Netta. Most people down there don't know her. So how did she become the face of Ferguson and St. Louis and all this old stuff? Like I told y'all months before, because the white supremacists, they say so. When they start telling you who our leaders are going to be, when they start telling you all that, y'all watch out. I warned y'all. I am so not shocked about her being on the cover of Essence. I'm not shocked. When they tell you who you're supposed to follow, that's part of the game. That ain't nothing but white supremacy right there. The people down there cannot stand Netta. I've said this a million times, but the white supremacists, they're going to make her Rosa Parks. They even wrote articles talking about she is the new Rosa Parks, her and D-Ray and all those people. So again, we got to stop falling for the trick bag, because people are pissed off down there in St. Louis. They're like, she ain't our damn leader. There's all types of little slick stuff that she was accused of doing down there. They're like, she is not our leader. But anyway, I digress. Y'all better understand the game and learn the game out here. This thing is real. Because the white supremacists, man, they're all about pacifying. The white supremacists are scrambling right now because, see, whenever they take little L's and whenever it gets hot for them, they got to scramble. Like today also, they charged the cop who pulled over Sandra Bland. Now, y'all got to understand. Now, watch when they do something to pacify us, because y'all got to be very careful. I look at things from a chessboard perspective. They charged the guy because they did a grand jury investigation and they weren't going to charge anybody for her death. But what they did, because now the block is hot, everybody's kind of heated out here now. So what they did, they got the cop and they charged him for perjury. All right? Now, perjury ain't shit. That's it's like a slap on the wrist charge. So he, you know, they white sacrificed that cop. You know, they're going to give him a little slap on the wrist, and they're going to hope that that pacifies black society. That perjury ain't shit. Don't celebrate. That's the thing. We dance and celebrate too much, and that's the theme of today's show. Black people dancing too damn much. We celebrating too much when they throw us a bone. And when they throw us a bone, usually it's a chess move that they're doing. So again, that little perjury charge, that ain't nothing. That dude probably ain't going to do no jail time. He's going to get a smack on the wrist for that bullshit. And then black people are going to be, hey, we want justice. And they're going to say, hey, we gave justice. See, white supremacy is all about white supremacy. We're not going to severely punish a white person under no circumstances for doing something to a black person. And speaking of that, the guy who shot Walter Scott in the back, he's free on bail right now. That dude is walking around right now. The bail was like $500,000. He's out right now. This dude shot a motherfucker in the back and lied and then planted the gun, and his bail was $500,000. Yet Bill Cosby was accused of touching a woman's pussy back in 2004. They arrested him and his bail was $1 million. And y'all still want to play this game about white supremacy. You need to wake up every day and say, I live in a system of white supremacy, and I am not surprised when I see white supremacy happening in a system of white supremacy. Now, there was another situation with a brother, and I love this brother, Judge Olu Stevens out of Kentucky. Love Judge Olu. Judge Olu Stevens is not a joke. He's a black man. He checks a lot of white supremacist bullshit that goes on in the courtroom. He checks that at the door, and the white supremacists in charge out there, they're trying to get rid of him. They've been trying to do everything they can to get rid of his brother. And there was a story that came out, I think yesterday or the day before, where he went, they had him off his cases for a minute because he was under investigation, but he was allowed to go back and try cases now. And on his first day back, he was trying somebody. It was a white supremacist in the courtroom, and there's a white guy in there, and he dismissed the, you know, the case was adjourned. The white guy goes in the hallway and starts yelling. He yelled out, "Punk ass nigger!" So the judge called him back in there in the courtroom and said, hey, you know, he reprimanded him and said, hey, I'm going to give you 60 days in jail. You can't say that in here. And the guy, the white guy was like, oh, no, that was, you know, I was talking to my brother. He's like, I don't care who you're talking about, man. You can't use that language in my courtroom. So he gave him 60 days in jail. Now, this is the thing. Y'all got to understand this. Somebody could have sent that white supremacist in there to say that, because what they did, they probably knew that if the white supremacist said something slick, the judge would react in a harsh way. Somebody on top probably sent that dude. They fished around for people who had cases and ordered that dude to go in there and say something crazy to get a reaction from the judge, because they knew that the court proceedings are filmed. Y'all got to look at it from every angle, family. So they would probably use the judge reprimanding this guy as a way to victimize him, like he's being treated cruelly by this judge. Because the day later, the guy, the white guy, went back to the judge and he apologized, and I think the judge reduced the 60-day thing and just made it time served. And that was a smart move, because what people might do is try to portray the judge as being unfair to white people, because that's how they're trying to paint him now. So I think he caught the game that they were trying to play. But you gotta support Judge Olu Stevens, man. He's a good brother, thorough brother. The white supremacists are on his ass, so we gotta protect brothers like that who are trying to do the right thing within the confines of white supremacy. Because the white supremacists right now, man, they're getting bold right now. They're going back to the old school Jim Crow tactics. Just like this thing that happened with the homie Tiger, the rapper Tiger, with this white chick that he was talking to on Instagram. It was some white chick who looks like a grown-ass lady. She doesn't have her age on her page, but I think Tiger sent her a direct message, like, okay, yeah, you do music. I think she did music, and he was trying to holler at her about some music or whatever. And the white girl immediately went and got Gloria Allred. The white girl was doing a press conference talking about, oh, I'm 14. Oh, I felt so uncomfortable. Now, Tiger didn't say anything off the wall. He didn't say anything sexual. He didn't say anything inappropriate. He didn't say anything illegal. They were just talking. He didn't know how old the woman was, because your age is not on, most people's age is not on Instagram. And this woman looks like a grown ass, this girl looks like a grown ass woman. But it don't matter in the system of white supremacy. When white mommy, white daddy, white daughter accuses a black person of something, it sticks. It's all about, I say so, I'm white, I say so. Boy, she got up there playing the victim. She was trying to force herself to cry, but it wasn't coming out. She was sitting up there with Gloria Allred. Because it sounded like it was set up. Sound like she probably liked his page or something and fished, and he bit the bait. That sounded like a major setup. But basically, all she was saying was, he kept sending me messages and I felt uncomfortable. I want y'all to feel me on that, because these white supremacists are going back to the Jim Crow thing where if you black, you better not talk to a white woman. Because again, nobody knew this girl's age. Nobody knew she was 14 years old. But don't think that these white supremacist females, just because they talk with a little yo, 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 and they got their hat on backwards, don't think that they ain't down with practicing white supremacy. This thing is real out here, family. Let me get a call right quick, because I got a lot I'm going to talk about tonight, but let me get a call real quickly. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Khalif from Los Angeles.
Khalif, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
All right, what's on your mind, brother?
All right, this is really what I wanted to ask you. I remember on a show, I think maybe in 2013, you said we shouldn't be around each other without an agenda, right?
Yes.
But this is my question. If we're mostly around each other, then we are like whites and those trying to harm us. How is that going to work? Isn't it just like going to be naturally poisonous?
Now, if we're around each other, what now?
If we're around each other without an agenda, which most of us are, isn't that going to stunt growth?
No, we just got to get around people. We ain't forced to be around so-called each other. You're in your house every day, and you ain't got to go out your house and be around some other black person just to be around them. You dig? You have a home. You have a roof and four walls. So whenever you step out of that roof and four walls, you better step around some people who are on the same page as you, who are trying to do something constructive. You understand?
That's real talk.
Yeah, yeah. You're not forced to deal with some bummy-ass nigga who lives a couple of houses down from you. If he's a bummy-ass nigga, don't go down that nigga's way.
Yeah. And last one.
Go ahead, man.
You see how they doing Bill Cosby. But yeah. My question is, remember when Straight Outta Compton was coming out, how they was doing Dre with bringing up old stuff?
Oh, yeah.
How long do you think it's going to be before they really attack him?
Oh, man, they're going in on him now. I mean, they're going in on him now. They're trying to file criminal charges all over the place. Out here in L.A., they tried to file charges, but they couldn't, because the chick who said that he raped her or touched her titties or jacked off on her toes or some shit at the Playboy Mansion, they investigated and found out that chick is a fucking liar.
You did? No, not Cosby, Dre.
Okay. Well, Dre, I don't know what they're going to do with Dre. I can't speculate on that, but, you know, hopefully that brother be safe. But thanks for the call, fam. All right, this ain't the psychic network now. Shit, I don't know what people are going to do in the foreseeable future now, as far as that, as far as Dre. You dig? But, yeah, they were trying. They were scraping, trying to find something out here for Bill Cosby. They were trying their damnedest to get something popping. And there's something I post up on my Facebook page today. I want y'all to hear this. Now, I don't know how old this interview is, but this is one of the Cosby accusers, Janice Dickerson. This is Janice Dickerson. You know, she's a known drug addict, and this is how bold these white supremacists are getting with their accusations and their victimhood. Now, this is a real interview. It's some shit that sounds like it's from The Onion or something. But this is her on the Nancy Grace Show. I don't know how old this is, but this is Janice Dickerson right here.
Supermodel and reality TV star is joining us. Ms. Dickerson, thank you for being with us.
I can't breathe because of Bill Cosby.
What do you mean?
I can't breathe because I haven't slept in weeks, and with everything that's going on, I haven't been able to breathe like the whole nation is doing right now, protesting. I am protesting because of the unresolved issues due to rape from Bill Cosby.
She can't even get this fucking lie out, by the way. Y'all see? See, the white supremacists, they all work together. She's fucking up the script. She can't even get her lie out. She's trying to sit up here and play the victim when she can't breathe because she was raped 30 years ago.
I am protesting because of the unresolved issues due to rape from Bill Cosby. Starting to exhale, and I will say this.
This fool is sitting up here acting like she can't breathe. She's acting like she's about to choke to death. That's how they're selling. The white supremacist female is a motherfucker with that victim shit. She's sitting here on national TV literally acting like she can't breathe. I can't breathe because Bill Cosby, he raped me. But the white supremacist female is a motherfucker. Boy.
You know, I sobbed all weekend, not just for me, for what's going on with these other women. I'm in huge gratitude to the Los Angeles Police Department, you know. Thank you guys and gals out there. You know, it's about time that This guy gets his cuppance.
Cuppance. Okay, she might have hit the pipe, too. You know, that sounds like some narcotic mixed up in there. But this is the thing. People try to shame you into questioning these crazy sounding fucking people. That's the thing. People try to shame you into questioning for questioning these people. It sounded like bad acting, and that's all it was. The white supremacist female, they know how to play that victim thing. The black male has victimized me game, that's always a winner in white supremacist society. That's always been the go-to hustle for the white supremacist female. If they can work up a cry, oh, a black guy did something. I was walking down the street and he talked to me and I can't breathe. Oh my God, I can't breathe the air. I have asthma. We gotta wake up, family. These white supremacists are getting desperate. But we live in a system that will allow and give the benefit of the doubt to their desperation. You understand? It will give them the benefit of the doubt. So we got to stop playing so much, family. Now, Barack Obama, he just did a speech, a press conference about gun control. Barack Obama just did a press conference about gun control. And a lot of the white supremacists out here, they started doing all of their fake outrage. Oh, he's not going to take our guns. Obama's going to take our guns. Look, let me tell y'all black folks something. A lot of that shit is game. Look at things from a chess perspective. A lot of these white supremacists, they fake outrage, but they kind of low-key wink at each other. Like, hey, just go along with it. Like they're mad at a certain policy, but they're down with the policy. Just like a lot of the white supremacists, they start talking about all these black people in affirmative action. Now, when they say that, they're not dumb. They know that more white people get affirmative action than black people. But when they start acting all upset and mad, that will make black folks not want to step up and ask for anything real. That's just to deter you from getting up and asking for something real. Now, the thing is with Obama, the gun sales did go up. Some of the gun sales did go up. But understand, some of these gun laws, they're going to affect black people more than anything. These gun laws, these gun control laws, are going to affect black people more than anything. Because understand this, family, the original gun laws in this country were made specifically for black folks. Y'all need to understand the gun law game. Going all the way back to the 1640s. They had laws against black freedmen and slaves or indentured servants having guns. The 1700s, they had all types of laws preventing black people from owning a firearm. All of the gun laws, they are seeped in white supremacy. They were all about disarming black folks. Because the thing is, the NRA, they talk all that, take your hand off our guns. Oh, you can't get our guns. And even Ronald Reagan was a big Second Amendment dude. That's how he got elected in the 1980s. He ran on that whole Second Amendment thing. Our guns, the NRA, they were the big backers of President Reagan, who's the father of modern conservatism. But understand this, Ronald Reagan was the one who signed the gun control law in California back in 1967. And the NRA supported him. The NRA supported gun control. Because in California, you have to understand, this was the Wild Wild West. So people could walk around with guns. You could walk around with guns openly for decades out here in California. But in 1967, they changed that shit. And the NRA, who's always talking about, oh, we want to do what we want to do with our guns. The NRA supported gun control in 1967. Do you know why? Because in 1967... the Black Panthers read up on those laws and they found out that they could too walk around with open guns. So Huey P. Newton used to read those law books. Huey P. said, hey, we can patrol these neighborhoods with our guns out. And when the Panthers start going up to like the Capitol building and all that stuff, they changed the law overnight. And the NRA was all for them changing the gun laws and restricting the gun laws. So again, at the end of the day, don't let these people run that game on you. They want to maintain white supremacy. They want to maintain white supremacy. Now, when the cowboys and all those people out here in California and the Westerners were shooting up saloons and all that, it was fine. Again, this was the Wild Wild West. Well, Lord, don't let them niggers get them guns. And just like these militia groups that's out here now, these militia groups out there in Oregon, don't let them run that whole bullshit game about freedom. And look, they're trying to get land, that federal land, and they're trying to get the federal government out the way because, again, I've said this many times, they want the federal government out the way so that they can then treat black folks any way they want to treat them. Because, again, the federal government, they've been the only thing that has protected black folks a little bit, which they really don't. But the little bit of protection that we have received has been from the federal government. And even after slavery, during Reconstruction, the federal government stopped those white supremacists from beating on black folks. There was something called the Great Compromise, where there was a politician that took the federal troops out of the South in exchange for the votes from those racist Southerners. Part of the agreement was he would take the troops out of the South. And once he took those federal troops out of the South, those white supremacists raised hell on black folks. That's when all those lynchings and shit started happening. They rained terror upon black people. And that's what they want to do now. They still want to do that, these white supremacist organizations. They want to get the federal government out the way so they can raise hell against us. Because you got to understand this. These militia groups out there at these federal buildings, I don't like it. Because, hey, my tax dollars pay for the federal buildings and all the federal land. That's part of my tax dollars. I don't want my tax dollars going to house a bunch of fucking white supremacists. Your tax dollars and mine are being used. I don't pay taxes for them to go up and carry guns and do illegal shit and not get anything done to them. Because these Cliven Bundy people who's up here at this ranch up here in Oregon, who's occupying this federal ranch illegally, they're just, the law enforcement, they're not even moving in on them. They're trying to negotiate with them. They're handling these people with kid gloves. And speaking of kids, when our kids walk around at parks with toy guns, they get blown away. But we live in a system of white supremacy where that is supposed to happen in a system of white supremacy. But understand this, these people also, they want that free land, because these white supremacists, they don't want to be in urban areas because they know that urban areas will be used as concentration camps if anything were to go down. If society were to break down, urban areas would be literally turned into concentration camps where they can lock you in. White supremacists, they know what the game is. They know exactly what the deal is. They know how these cities are set up. Black folks don't, because we all up in the hood dancing and singing all the time. We don't take the time out to really peep the game and peep what's going on around us, because we are always in survival mode. But they know if society were to break down, these urban areas, you can't grow food there properly. You don't have sufficient natural water, so they can turn these places into concentration camps, just like they turned the housing projects. That housing projects are concentration camps, basically. Just like I was talking about in South Africa, these places are, these shanty towns and townships are concentration camps. So they want to be, these white supremacists, they want to be somewhere where you can live off the land, you will have natural water. They understand the importance of getting that type of land and getting control of that type of environment. And now, from what I understand, some of the Native Americans are like, hey, that's really our land. They're claiming that the land, which it is their land. And these white supremacists, they like to go back to the first form of the Constitution. And the first form of the Constitution was basically talking about white people should come over here for life, liberty, and the pursuit of property, and not happiness. Brother Claude Anderson broke that down. It's not about the pursuit of happiness. It's about the pursuit of property. And that property is free Indian land, land that you took from the Indians, and free African labor. The Africans are the property. That's what the original Constitution said. Life, liberty, and property, black people are the property. That's why when Clive and Bundy, and I always point this out, when Clive and Bundy had that little showdown with the federal government and they backed down, then his real agenda start coming out. He start talking about, so, now that I'm done with the federal government, let's talk about the Negro. Yeah, you know, blacks wouldn't be so bad off back in slavery, now would they? He start talking like that, and then a lot of people backed off his ass. So we got to understand the whole game that these people are playing out here. But the thing is, what we do, we're the dancing and singing and shucking and jiving folks. And that's the real topic of today's show. We got to stop all this dancing. We dance too much. Too much dancing going on with black folks. We're going to have to stop the dancing and start thinking. See, we play too much as black folks. And the reason why I'm talking about this, there's a teacher out in Atlanta. There's a teacher out in Atlanta. What's this guy's name? I think his name is a white guy. He's a white teacher. I think his name is Ron Clark. People in the chat room, correct me if I'm wrong. But there's a white teacher. Doesn't seem like a bad guy. And it's not about being a bad guy. There's a white teacher named Ron Clark. And there's a video that has gone viral of Ron Clark. He teaches in Atlanta, mostly black students. Has a private school out there. And he did a video of him dancing with his students. They're in their little school uniforms and they're in the classroom doing the nay-nay and the whip and the sexy walk. And they're doing a little dance routine and he's dancing with them. And the video is going viral and a lot of the people co-signing it are black folks. Black people's hearts are just melting. Oh, that's so cute. Look at him dancing with the blacks. And the thing is, this video of this man dancing with the black kids, this right here is the reason why black people can get done over so many times. Black people, like Brother John Henry Clark used to say, are the most politically naive people on the planet. We're so politically naive, we don't understand the game. We do not understand the game. There's a lot of shit going on out here of all types of injustices. I mean, back to back. And what will pacify and neutralize black people, all you got to do is send a white guy to come on down and dance with the niggers, and we're good to go. And they're just dancing it up. And I've done lectures about this before. I have a problem with people getting around black kids and in order to teach them, you say you got to do all the dancing and you got to do the whip and you got to do the nay-nay and you got to do the cabbage patch and the fucking running man. When you do that, what you're trying to say is basically these kids are too stupid to learn regularly. Black folks, stop letting people marginalize you with stereotypes. Black children are not stupid. Black people can be taught, and our black children can learn like anybody else. You can sit them down, give them a book, give them some paper, give them the proper resources. They can learn like anybody else. You don't have to get up and do the fucking plantation buck dance every 5 minutes. I'm sick of that shit, and I'm sick of black folks falling for it. All they got to do is send some white person down there to you and start dancing around, shucking and jiving, and you right there shucking and jiving right along with them. We can be pacified way too easily. And black folks always try to minimize shit. Oh, it's just dancing. It ain't just dancing. Everything is used as a tool against you. Everything is used as a tool to maintain white supremacy. Even dancing with niggers. That's a tool to be used against you. The white supremacists, they know how to weaponize everything. They weaponize the concept of having fun, because if they keep you having fun all the damn time, you don't think about handling your business. Just like with these movies. When I try to point out the racism in these movies, you got black folks, man, it's only a movie, man. You just can't go and enjoy the movie. Nigga, that's called being brainwashed. If you go somewhere and you're not being analytical about what you're watching, you're just sitting there accepting all the images and all the propaganda they're giving you, that's called being brainwashed. Which makes you a slave. Slaves sit up. They used to sit up and listen to everything Massa told them. Now, Remus? Now, you's not a smart nigga. Now, you not good for no book learning. Now, you just need to be on this here plantation. Now, you not built for book learning. Now, you just need to be out here picking cotton. That's your lot in life. If you say so, Massa. If you say so. You just set up and accept it for the most part. Now, some revolutionary people said, hey, fuck that. That's bullshit. I'm about to go sneak a book somewhere and read it so I can get away from your ass. But the thing is, the white supremacists, they know how to handle us. They know how to pacify us. It's like King Kong. It's that music calms the savage beast. We got to get off that savage beast that can be calmed down with music and dancing. That shit is tired now. And black folks say, oh, look, the kids, well, he's being relatable to the kids. Our children can relate to learning. They can relate to learning. You don't have to shuck and jive all the time. And let me say this, truth be told, not only do we over here in the States, we dance too fucking much, but I'm saying African people globally, we dance too much. We got to cut out all this fucking dancing. I'm talking about in Africa too. I'm going to keep it 110. Even over in Africa, some of that damn dancing, I know it's a culture. I know it's a tradition. Over in the Caribbean, that's part of Caribbean culture. When you look at Caribbean culture, even Brazilian culture, whatever, or in the Dominican Republic or Trinidad and Tobago, whatever, or the Haiti or whatever. What do people do on the Puerto Rican Day Parade or the Trinidad Festival? What do people do? They go put on a thong and some big old feathers with their ass and titties out and start walking around twerking their butt cheeks. While under a system of white supremacy. That's part of our global African culture now. Is putting on outfits, twerking our fucking butt cheeks. All over. Some of that shit, we got to wake up and say, hey, this ain't working for us globally. That's something we're going to have to start doing, family. We're going to have to learn that a lot of the shit we've been doing for the last few centuries, that shit ain't working no more. It's keeping us in the same position. We got to start learning if we're doing something over and over again and we're in the same situation and it's not getting any better, we got to learn a new game. It's just like hustling, street hustling. If you're out here hustling, you're trying to sell a certain product and that shit ain't working, you better switch up on another product. Somebody in the chat room said, Frances Cress Wilson said, stop all dances. I think she probably did say that. We got to stop the fucking dancing, man, because that shit is being used against us. You dance at leisure time, but we make all time leisure time. These kids are supposed to be learning. Fuck all that dancing. Look, I know there's certain cultural rituals that we've been doing for thousands of years. And look, I understand that dancing, it keeps you in tune with the earth. It keeps you in tune with nature. There was a purpose for dancing. There is a purpose. But the thing is, we have to evolve with the times, and we got something on earth called white supremacy, which is a cancer. Not all white people are white supremacists, but the ones who are, it's a very evil system that should not exist, and unfortunately, we can't dance this shit up out of here. Unless you're doing a war dance, you're dancing before you're about to put in some work. But we live in a system called white supremacy that you, just dancing ain't working against that shit. Because they ain't dancing. So the thing is, them coming around some black kids doing all this old dancing and shucking and jiving, that ain't nothing you need to be celebrating. Because let me tell you something. They don't go around white kids doing all that. You won't see them up in a damn white school when it's time to learn and the kids all in there doing the nay-nay and the Millie Rock. And no. If you go to a white school and the kids all up in there dancing, I'm talking about a non-art school. Now, if it's a school like an art school or like Glee or some shit like that, I understand. Like Fame or Glee or High School Musical. But I'm talking about a regular school and the white kids are just dancing and it has nothing to do with the curriculum. There's going to be an emergency PTA meeting. You're not going to see a bunch of Jewish kids dancing and singing and doing the Millie Rock and all that old stuff. You're not going to see that. See, the thing is, the stuff that they allow in black society, they know it's totally unacceptable in white society. And don't let it be a black teacher. Let a black teacher, even if a black teacher was up there dancing with other black students, black folks would be upset about it. And you know they would. The only reason black folks are even blushing and gushing about this situation with the Ron Clark dude is because he's white. That's the only reason they're blushing about it. If that dude was black and in the classroom with the kids doing the nay-nay and the Millie Rock, the black teachers, the black students' families, they'd be raising hell. Like, what is this ghetto shit you got my kids doing? I brought my kids here to learn, not this old ratchet shit. Let a white dude dance with him. Oh, this is so great. This is so wonderful. Boy, he's a cool teacher. He's white. Black folks' heart melt when they see some white people down there slumming with them. You dig? It's all about white daddy coming in there frolicking with the Negroes. And the thing is, man, if you want to give props to a school, look, there's so many African-centered schools out here where the children are getting a top-notch education. That's why me, Melanoid Nation, we donate so much money to some of these African-centered schools out here that don't get all that publicity, and the kids are doing great at these schools. There's a school in Chicago, a black man running an African-centered school. These kids are on top of their game. Our kids don't need to be, they don't have to do all that buck dancing to learn. You get some people in there who care about them genuinely and they get the right resources. That's why we go out of our way to make donations to these schools. You get people who care in the community and they get the right resources. The kids will learn. You don't have to be in there twerking for trigonometry. But see, black folks, we fall for that white savior hustle all the time. And that's a hustle that black people are going to have to stop falling for. See, what happens is one white supremacist down the road, they will cause a problem. And then another white supremacist comes along as the savior to solve the problem that the other white supremacist caused. Just like in Africa, the same hustle they've been running on us. They will poison a river in Africa, as Neely Fuller would say, 300 miles away. They poison the river with all types of toxins and they'll dry up the dam and everybody's starving because a white supremacist poisoned the river from miles away. And then another one, a white supremacist come in and say, hey, I'm a missionary. I heard you guys don't have any clean water. I got plenty of it right here. And then y'all fall for that. And then they come on in there and they end up taking over. And it's the same thing with the schools out here. These inner city schools that need the white mommy, white daddy savior. Because black folks get on this thing, well, man, at least the kids is getting a good education. If black folks, we don't have a good education, we need a good education. We need the white daddy teacher to come in and teach us. So why are the black kids not getting a good education? Let's break it all the way down. They're not getting a good education. Because most of the time, they don't live in a neighborhood with the right resources. They don't live in a neighborhood with the right resources because of economic deprivation. You have economic deprivation because of white supremacy. So white supremacy is the cause of it anyway. That's the reason why black kids go to fucked up schools, because of white supremacy. The reason why you live in a fucked up neighborhood is because of white supremacy. There's a black neighborhood because there's a white neighborhood. There's a white neighborhood because of white supremacy. They control all that, and they allocate whatever resources and deprive whatever resources that are needed. So don't get all celebratory when a white savior come in, because number one, the community shouldn't have been fucked up in the first place. Just like when I was debating that Wendy Wright chick years ago, and she was all talking about, well, there's so many white people that helped us get out of slavery. Well, damn it, we shouldn't have been in it in the first place. Let's deal with the ones who put us in it. Let's deal with the ones who put us in it in the first place. So we got to get off the bullshit. And we got to be more political. We got to understand the game. We got to understand what's happening out here. And we got to stop being so politically naive. We got to get real, family. And the thing is, all you have to do, if you allocate the proper resources to black educators so that the children won't be miseducated, do that. You don't have to send in white mommy, white daddy. You don't have to do that. Just allocate the proper funds and resources, since you want to have a segregated society, because segregation is white supremacy. The white supremacist determines who's going to live where. So if you, white mommy, white daddy, on top anyway, if you're going to determine who lives where, allocate the right resources so that black people will get an equal education in a place and in an environment that you have segregated and created yourself. Don't send white savior daddy down there to do the nay-nay after the fact. I ain't with all that old Tarzan stuff. I don't get misty-eyed and dewy-eyed because some white mommy, white daddy can come down and do the nay-nay and the Millie Rock. If we had the right resources, like all other so-called citizens, we wouldn't need white daddy to come on down here and do the goddamn Millie Rock. And we got to cut the damn dancing out, family. Dancing is cool for babies. Dancing is cool for babies. I got babies. I have children, and it's so cute when they dance. They dance, and they're not thinking about nothing. It feels good. They get accolades from me and their mother. And children, babies, when I mean children, I mean babies, they can dance all day because that's what babies are supposed to do. You want babies to enjoy themselves and not have to think about anything. You just rock and dance because it feels good because you're a baby, and you get praises and props from mommy and daddy. But the thing is, black people living in a system of white supremacy, that creates an infantile mentality. You become childlike in your psychology, in your psychiatric mind. And what happens is that we're dancing all the time looking for approval like babies. That's all we do is fucking dance. You look at Instagram, Twitter, we dancing all the time. We're always going to the club. We're always going to a party. Every time we go to a protest, we end up dancing at the damn protest. When I was out there in Baltimore seeing what was going on, black folks out there with boomboxes dancing. We got to stop the dancing at some point. It's okay to dance and joke around at times, but goddamn, we got to stop dancing all the time. We're dancing nonstop, trying to get approval from authority figures, trying to get approval from our peers. And the dancing is being used against us. See, the white supremacists, they know the dancing is non-productive. They know. And see, we even make fun of them for not knowing how to dance. See, we think we got some kind of one-up thing on them. Oh, look at this white boy. He can't dance. Look at that white girl. She don't even know how to dance. Look at you. You don't even know how to dance. And the white supremacist is like, yeah, I don't know how to dance. You're right. Yeah, I got two left feet, but I own this club that you're dancing in, and I own the block that you're on right now. I might not know how to dance, but I own all the shit that you use right now. So I don't need to know how to dance now, do I? I own the plantation, don't I? That's their mentality. And the thing is, the white supremacists, they know that dancing all the damn time is non-productive. They know it's non-productive. That's why they promote it with you all the time. They're always promoting parties with us. They're telling us to dance and have a good time and party and don't think about nothing, and they own everything. I was at a place, I was at a restaurant called Mr. Child's out here in Beverly Hills. And Mr. Child's, that's a place very expensive to eat, but there's a lot of celebrities that go up there, a lot of, you make a lot of connections up there doing business. And sometimes, you know, the way it's seated, you know, the seating is like you're sitting with a lot of people. So you have no choice but to kind of interact with strangers because all the tables are together. So it's like one big communal thing where you're almost forced to network with people. But it's a cool thing because, you know, you'll never know who you're talking to. You see everybody, all the big name people go there. It's a real hot spot. And I was there one time. I was having dinner and it was a group of young white dudes who came in and we're chopping it up. You're like, what do you do? You're like, what do you do? What do you do? And this was way back in my hustling days. I used to go there back in the hustle days. So I was like, yeah, I do a little something. Yeah, I do a little. I ain't trying to tell all my business. I remember one white dude, he was like, yeah, well, I own this block over on Melrose. This dude owned a whole block, a whole city block. This guy was in his fucking like 30s. Oh, rich ass white boy. Owned a whole city block on Melrose. Not just the building. He owned the whole block. All the shit on the whole block. And you would never know that. See, that's why hanging around shit like that, that made me want to step my game up and like be like, let me stop with the whole bullshit that they give us and let me see what they got going on in their communities. Because the thing that they tell us to do, they don't do. They ain't doing all that dancing. They out here owning shit. They ain't out here doing all that tap dancing and buck dancing and sitting on the corner doing the Millie Rock. They out here coming up with ways to own and control stuff. Real talk, man. But the thing is, they will give us the music and they'll give us the space we need for dancing, just like they did on plantations. They would give you the fiddle. They would get you a banjo. They get you a brand new shiny banjo on those plantations. You go look at those slave pictures. You got black folks out there with raggedy ass clothes, no shoes. Having shoes was a luxury. You see barefoot black people with dirty clothes with a brand new banjo. A spanking new banjo. And like, here, Festus, I got you a new banjo. So you can just sing and dance and play all the time. And that's what we did on plantations. And the white supremacists, they made fun of that. That's what minstrel shows were about. Making fun of black people buck dancing. And even what's called the Jim Crow era. Jim Crow was a dance. The Jim Crow was a dance that slaves would do. It was the Jim Crow dance. And they used the name of that dance as a public policy to keep black people as second-class citizens. The Jim Crow laws. And that's where we are right now. We're in the Jim Crow 2.0. And they know whenever we start trying to talk about race or dealing with our problems, which is white supremacy, hey, turn the music on. What are we doing? Let's have a little fun. Why are we talking about race? Come on. Let's get this Millie Rock going. You know, that they did a television show not too long ago, and I criticized this show. They were talking about race. We're going to have a real discussion about race. This whole racial show. And basically, it was a big fucking concert. They're like, tune in tonight. We're going to have an honest talk about race. But before we do, here's a song by Pharrell and Bruce Springsteen. And the whole show was like that. They never got around to talking about race in this honest way. It was a big fucking buck dancing convention. And they sent out white mommy and white daddy to buck dance with you to make you think that everything is cool. And that's not what it's about. Where are the resources? That's where black folks need to be at with their game. Look, mammy. Look, mommy, look, white daddy, I don't want to dance with you. I want to know where the resources are because I'm being punished because I'm black by these white supremacist policies, and many of these policies are harming me because I do not have the resources to combat them. So if you want to help me, mommy, white daddy, put your dancing shoes in the corner, and why don't you allocate some of those resources that I deserve, because it was the free labor of my African ancestors that created the wealth in this country in the first place. So I deserve some of the resources that you are enjoying right now. That's where we have to be with our game. And stop letting them get you into that tap dancing, buck dancing mode. Because see, when you're dancing is all about feeling. Dancing is all about how you feel. You don't have to think when you dance. That's why people dance, to kind of get their minds off shit. You can kind of zone out and just do your dance moves. That's the reason why people dance, so they can zone out psychologically and just enjoy themselves. But when you're dancing, you're feeling and you're not thinking. Family, we need to start thinking more. Let's cut out all this fucking dancing. Unless we're doing a war dance. But we need to stop all this dancing and get our minds right. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Now, family, my main Facebook page got shut down again. The white supremacists are really attacking my Facebook page, my main page. So I got a backup page, facebook.com/TheRealTariqNasheed. So everybody, if you're listening, go like that page right now. You can follow me on my other Facebook page, facebook.com/TheRealTariqNasheed, and follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Go to iTunes and subscribe to this show. And also, go to TariqRadio.com and sign up for the newsletter. Sign up for our email list, because we need to be able to communicate with one another without the social networking sites. Because I know a lot of folks, a lot of black people who speak out against racism, their pages are getting censored, and they will block your page for any little thing now. So we're being targeted, especially with pages like Facebook, because a lot of us, we become influential. A lot of people listen to us, like me, whenever I tweet stuff and whenever I post stuff up, when I post things up on Facebook, a lot of times mainstream media outlets will take stuff that I posted and they'll put it out there. A lot of people will quote me in mainstream media for the stuff that I post. So when that happens, you become a target. So now I'm being censored very heavily on Facebook. So I want people to join my mailing list, my email list. You can sign up free. You can do it in 2 seconds, just your name and your email. So whenever I got something going on, or whenever I want to show you about a new page that I'm on, or when I need to give you information about Hidden Colors 4, I'll have your email address and I can hit you up without having to worry about being censored and nobody being able to find me and all that old stuff. But again, I do have my backup page at facebook.com/TheRealTariqNasheed. You feel me? Yeah, I'm looking at some of the comments. Yeah, they want you to upload driver's licenses and all this stuff. Yeah, it's getting crazy with Facebook, man. Facebook is it's turning into Stormfront. Because what's funny about Facebook, and I know about 3 or 4 folks, black folks, who didn't have their pages censored or banned, or they've had a hold on their page. Now, I got a page hold for about a month. My page is going to be shut down for a month. It was shut down last week for 7 days. So now they shut it down for a month. But these white supremacists, they get to get on Twitter and say every damn thing. They get to call you all types of niggas, monkeys, motherfuckers. They get to say everything. And they don't get their pages taken down for nothing. But we are living in a system of white supremacy. And that does not exclude Facebook. So I'm not surprised. And just like our sister Frances Cress Welsing said, we got to stop acting surprised by white supremacy, because that enables white supremacy when we're always acting surprised about stuff happening, when we act like we don't know why shit is happening. It happens because we live in a system of white supremacy. Got it? All right, y'all, man. I'm about to be out of here. I will holler at you guys Sunday on Ustream. Again, get your tickets to join me at TariqLive.com. I'm a holler at my lecture in the Bay and in Cincinnati. Peace.